Good to hear.
Welcome to our village board meeting. Would you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Harry, you didn't have to remind me.
Not like somebody else.
We will call our meeting to order for Tuesday, May 17th. Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genray.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Green is excused. Trustee Sampson.
Here.
And Trustee Deutsch is excused. Do I have a motion to modify or adopt the agenda?
Move to adopt as presented.
Trustee Harris, do I have a second?
Second.
Trustee Atwood, any discussion? We have a motion to adopt the agenda and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Announcements. The first announcement is the notice that the assessment roll will be open for examination / open book, and that is going to be open on May 31st from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. at the Alloway Village Hall right here. And if you are interested in discussing your assessment of your property at that time, please do so. On Sunday, June 12th at Green Isle Park, Alloway Fest is returning from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It will, of course, feature the Classic Car Show, Community Picnic. It is being hosted once again by the Alloway Optimist Club, and we thank them for their contribution to making our community great. It's fun for the whole family, and come on down and have some fun on Sunday, June 12th, 10 to 3. May 15th through 21st is, National Public Works Week. And we would like to thank all of our public works employees for doing everything they do to keep our community with running water, clean water, good streets, and all kinds of other wonderful things. So thank you to Sean and your staff for that. It happens to be a very popular week for National Weeks. It is also National Police Week from May 15th through 21st. And we would like to take this opportunity to thank our DEO, Jason Vogel, for all the wonderful work you do on behalf of the village to keep us safe, and to everyone from the Brown County Sheriff who helps make our community safe. Thank you very much to both of our groups. Would you like to say a few words? Would you like to say a few words?
Thank you.
Those are two words. That's a few. Okay, next, but seriously, thank you both very much. Autism Society of Northeast Wisconsin Walk on September 17th. I believe it to be in Green Isle Park. It's hard to read, but it is a reoccurring event, and I'm sure you can find out more by going to asnew.org. Next, if you live in the village of Alloway and you see some water being flushed from mains, that's because we're doing it May 16th through 27th. Please check your tap water for discoloration before using if you see anyone out and about flushing water mains. If you heard, I heard that Alloway was nominated as the number 3 best place to live in the country. Actually, Green Bay was, but we're associated with that. That came out in some kind of report today. That's pretty cool.
U.S. News and World Report.
Was it U.S. News and World Report? Right behind someplace in Alabama and Colorado Springs. So that is pretty darn impressive. And last announcement from me. We're going to be talking about this a little bit later, but we have long had hope of closing GBCI and getting support at a state level. And yesterday, Tim Michaels, a candidate for governor,
announced a crime package, and included in that crime package in that platform is the closure of GBCI. So he is in full support of closing that facility. We are very thankful for that. I am very thankful for that. And hopefully more will join the bandwagon. Any other announcements from my fellow trustees? Any other announcements from staff? Hearing none, we will move on to agenda item number four, public comment. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda? I'm guessing not. So we're going to close the public comment section and move on to item number five, presentation from the East River Resilience Project, Kayla Wandersnyder. Wandersnyder, right?
Wandersnyder.
Wandersnyder. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. Come on up.
All right. Shall I?
Yep.
It works? Okay.
If you could give us your name and address, we would greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Kayla Wandersnyder, and I live in Madison, 1205 Jennifer Street.
Thank you.
Apartment number 2.
Now, you did hear that Green Bay is the number 3 place in the country to live.
I did. Okay. I am pleasantly surprised. It's amazing. What are, and maybe I'm derailing this a little bit, but what, do you know the qualifications?
I don't. Okay. There are a lot of different things.
Oh, sure. She had to go there.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much for having me here today. So I am part of this East River Collaborative. If you've heard of this project that's happening, it's along the East River. We're doing community outreach and education and flood mitigation. And so I'm here today to kind of give updates on what this, what we've been doing with this project, introduce myself because my predecessor was here for the first part of this project and the staff worked mostly with him, with Blake Newman. And so I just wanted to say here I am and that I'm really glad to meet you all. And I'm going to be talking about some of the project updates and next steps.
Great.
So, next slide, please. Great. So, with this project, we started off by doing a number of stakeholder interviews across the watershed to really try and get at what were the opportunities for flood resilience, what were the gaps, and what were the needs. So, data needs, what were the knowledge needs, where what resources were needed, and with all of these, there were a number of commonalities through the 29 individuals who we talked to. And so some of them are here, there were many more, but the first one was there is a definite change in land cover and land use. Most people notice that wetlands have been declining in the watershed, that an increased development has been leading to flooding, and then also agriculture runoff and nutrient runoff has been leading to water quality issues. So another thing that people noticed was that flooding is also not limited to downstream communities. It's also happening in the upper reaches of the watershed as well. Policies in the watershed allow for development in floodplain, and we don't 100% know the impacts to communities downstream from this, but we do have a pretty good guess. Encroachment on the floodplain tends to lead to more flooding downstream. There's also undersized and aging infrastructure in this region, and we are seeing greater and more frequent precipitation events, and so this infrastructure is facing a lot of stress due to that. The cost of infrastructure on the other side of it is really an issue to consider as well, because it's expensive and it's difficult to get those projects on the ground. Data that is needed is, we don't quite understand what the impacts of development, as I mentioned before, to downstream communities, so that's something that we're definitely going to be looking at, and then we are also trying to understand how the tributaries impact the watershed in terms of water quality and flooding. And then lastly, there's a great desire and need for community collaboration across the watershed, and we heard that from pretty much every single person we interviewed. So the next part of this project was we did this community flood resilience assessment. So we mostly work with the staff, and I was not at these meetings, but this here you can see is a compilation of all of the communities, the seven communities that we worked with across the watershed to identify what were the flood hazards that they experienced. So you can see that riverine floodplain flooding was experienced by three communities at a high level, one community at moderate, and three at a low. So now I'm going to dig a little bit deeper into what we found with the Alloway flood hazards. Riverine and floodplain flooding and stream bank erosion were experienced at a moderate level. Coastal flooding and ponding at a low moderate. Ice jams, ditch drainage, backups, and flash flooding were experienced at a low level. So then the next part of this was to try and get at what the community impacts were. And there were four categories here. So you're looking at socioeconomics, impact on public health, community assets, and then critical infrastructure, facilities, and services. The highest one under socioeconomics was buildings and their contents. That was at a low moderate level. Everything else was low. Impact on public health was also very low. The highest here was on the community assets for contamination of waterways, as well as a moderate level for parks and recreational trails. And then all of the impacts to critical infrastructure were experienced at a low level. So another part of this was to try and figure out what Alloway's priorities and actions were for future flood resilience. So the first one that was discussed was stream bank stabilization and impacts to waterways. And this was discussed around erosion issues along the stream contributing to sedimentation and sediment outflow along the river. Raising lift stations were also discussed. Two of the lift stations in Alloway are located in the 100-year floodplain, and so that was a consideration for future flood events. They're going to be bigger. Community flood preparedness was something else, and that was discussions around that was to translate documents and outreach material into a number of different languages for residents. And then the last one was flooding of the East River Trail, which in the impacts was rated as a high level. So these other priorities here, ponding as a nuisance, incorporating green infrastructure into future plans, and mapping socially vulnerable populations were noted as priorities, but not as high as a level of the first one that I had mentioned, although still important for the future. Okay. So you have a few maps in front of you, and this was part of our flood modeling and mapping study that we had done. We put 12 gauges along the East River to really try and understand what the hydrology was along this river. So we wanted to understand how high and low lake levels impacted flooding in addition to different precipitation events. So the deep red in this map is a one-year flood, and the yellow on the outskirts is a 500-year flood. And so we worked with the UW Cartography Lab to come up with these maps for you. The first one that was the top one should have been Alloway zoomed in up close. Mm-hmm. Yep, thank you. The next one is the entire watershed of the East River that shows the flood extent, as well as a number of different infrastructure, buildings, different locations. And then the other one with the blue and the red on there is the 1-year flood event, which is a 2.1-inch rainfall with a high water level. So you can see the difference between the high water level and the low water level. The red part is the high water level, the blue is the low water level, and you can kind of see that difference in there. So a lot of these maps will be put online on our website and used as a decision-making tool, just kind of a hub for all these maps and tools that we're creating. Okay, so zooming out a little bit, the East River Collaborative, based on everything that we've heard across the watershed from our stakeholders, from university partners and different organizations that we've talked to, we've centered the collaborative around these five different points here. So we heard from people that it was really important to have cross-boundary collaboration for resources to be shared, knowledge, expertise, all across the watershed. It was also important that this project be community-based in order to build community capacity, that all of this information here that I'm presenting to you is from you all, from Alloway. It's a kind of a ground-up approach instead of a top-down approach. It's also, this project is very much data-informed, so with this watershed study that we're doing, it's important that we are really incorporating as much science as we possibly can for the longevity of this project, so that with future population growth and development, that we can be sure that the decisions that we're making now are sound when they impact people in the future. So then it's also really important that we're including vulnerable and underrepresented residents in this project, because a lot of times these people have been left out of the conversation, and we really want to bring them to the table and get their perspectives as well. And so then lastly, it's important for a lot of people that we've heard across the watershed to implement nature-based solutions, so rain gardens, bioinfiltrations, anything that manages water on the ground where it lands. And this is important not only for water quantity, but also for water quality and quality of life.
Excuse me, who make up the underrepresented population?
That is a good question. We have been, this is something that we're going to be working on in the next phase of our project, but we are going to be looking at a number of different tools online, like there's something with the EPA that we can use, an environmental justice mapping organization. We can look at the census and see where minority populations are, or low income or aging populations are, and kind of look at if they're disproportionately impacted by flooding. And so this could also come from these communities as well, to where they see is the most need. Thank you for that question. So I want to leave you with some next steps that we'll be working on. We're going to be continuing this cross-boundary collaboration and communication. I send out monthly newsletters, so if you're interested in those, please let me know. I'd be happy to get you on the list, but these are really important to make sure that we keep our communities updated and this information transparent to everyone involved. We're going to be continuing mapping and community-level planning. So we have just been informed by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the Silver Jackets program, that they have some funding to help us with a number of different projects. So the first one is this community mapping and planning outreach and emergency response type actions that they'll be helping us with. Another one is a flood storage study, and then the last is flood forecasting. So we're super excited that we are working with them. So then there's this East River Water Trail that I think was just designated. Is that right?
We're working on
getting it designated. So we are really happy to be able to support that process and hopefully partner with you all to do something with that. And we've also been working with the Parks Department to do some native planting. So we're really excited about doing that as well. Hopefully we'll be doing some more in-person activities and events. So, yeah, those are some of our next steps. So, thank you all very much.
Any questions for Kayla?
Yeah.
Sure.
Please.
Your description it strikes me that it's in the emergency management government flood crisis vein, and I didn't hear you mention or talk about the environmental impact, and we don't want to put too much phosphorus out in the bay. just so I'm clear on this, I kind of thought this was both, and obviously if you do one, it affects the other. But this is being primarily, and I see the list of partners or sponsors at the bottom, mm-hmm. and they're all people who would be worried about water quality and phosphorus and different things. Is this funded primarily as a flood emergency project, but it also obviously is going to, or is the natural protection of a water resource equally as important?
Yeah, I would definitely say that they're equally as important. I think what we don't know as much is how flooding is affecting this region, and so I think that's where we're trying to spend a lot of our resources to figure that out, because a lot of times projects that you put in, well, say like nature-based solutions that you put in for flood mitigation, they have co-benefits, so water quality is also going to be affected as well, or water quality will increase with that as well. So I guess they are equal measures of that. And
they already know new water tracks a lot of the tributaries, and they know that after a big flood, the bay is brown, or they get a big blue-green algae bloom,
right.
or a dead zone. So this helps, because maybe they haven't studied the East River as much as they have some of the other tributaries, I don't think.
And just to kind of follow up a little bit with you, Chris, last year was three tours, correct?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Alway was one of the stops in the tours. Picture before, that was Trevor and I standing on one of our fishing piers in Green Isle doing a presentation. But one of the stops was a farm, what's that one?
Van de Wettering Farm.
Mm-hmm. One more time?
Van de Wettering.
That one. Where they really talked about just the barren land and how they're working with farmers to engage into this, changing the practices. And so to answer your question, yeah, it really is tied into both.
Two birds with one stone. We're getting a better look at flooding, which has happened here, but also maybe the East River has been a little understudied or under-researched, so this is doing that too. Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Caleb?
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for being here, Caleb. Okay, we will move on to item number 6. Action regarding resolution 2022-09, thanking Matt Hahn for his years of service as recreation coordinator. Do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
Trustee Sampson, do I have a second? Trustee Genrich, any discussion? Matt did a great job for us. We're sorry to see him go, but we wish him well. We have a motion to approve the resolution 2022-09 and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 7, action regarding approval of proposal from Platform Communications for consulting services relating to closing of Green Bay Correctional Institution. And item 7A, approval of the use of ARPA funds in an amount not to exceed $30,000. In the packet you received, and you should have received this via email, I believe, on April 26th, Brad and I were down in Madison for a meeting of mayors, village presidents, and administrators. And the primary, it's called the Urban Alliance, and it's been around for quite a while, but they're really trying to bring it back. It's led by the League of Municipalities. And the primary purpose or discussion point was how to fund local government going forward and the challenges we face. But one of the speakers there was a gentleman by the name of Keith. What was Keith's last name?
Gilkey.
And Keith was the campaign manager for Governor Walker. He's been in local government a long time. He served on the Senate staffs. He knows Wisconsin government inside and out. And he now owns public relations firm known as Platform Communications. The league uses him quite a bit, and I called them and just made sure that they would endorse
his work, and they do. So Brad and I were talking on the way back, and you know, back a couple of years ago when we were trying to get the closing of GBCI in the budget, we gathered a lot of data, and I think we did a great job at doing that. And depending on who you talk to, we may have been close to getting it approved, but it didn't go through. Nothing went through. And I believe with the data we have updated numbers from St. Norbert's. It's gone up about 30%, I think, the impact that it's going to have to our community. I think we need help in creating the strategy to communicate with the general public, with the media, to understand how things get done in Madison, and to make sure that we do everything we can to bring local communities together, local people together, our state legislators and state leaders, because we're going into a gubernatorial election. Like I said, Tim Michaels made it a point on his campaign. Whether you like him, not like him, I love the fact that someone is talking about it and that they listen. I'm hoping his entry into this whole thing will encourage other gubernatorial hopefuls and the governor himself to engage in discussion about this. So I called Keith, talked to him a little bit, and asked him for a proposal to help guide us through this whole process. And he came back with the proposal that you see. It is on a month-to-month basis. So for $3,000 a month, he would provide basically all the services included in that proposal. And it is mainly to guide us through this process, create the talking points, get all this data, and put it together into a form that makes sense to those who are making the decisions in Madison. And then to do press releases, press conferences, and lead us through that whole thing. I think it's a heck of a good idea. I think it's a great investment. Today, more than ever, we're seeing the challenges of inflation and what it's doing to our bottom line. And so for that reason, I am asking for your support to approve this proposal. If we approve it, we will then talk about how to fund it. Do I have a motion on this item? I'll make a motion to approve the proposal from Platform Communications. Can I have a second?
Second for discussion, yes.
Second, Trustee Harris. Any discussion?
A couple things. Do we know how quickly he'd be able to start? And do you think we could add in something where we get either every other month or at least once a quarter, we receive a listing of the different activities he's performed on behalf of the village?
To your
progress report?
Yeah, there would be a progress report. Even if it's on a monthly basis, that would be fine with me.
Yep.
I don't know what his norm is, but I'm looking for a progress report. Thank you for the terminology.
And that's an excellent point. How soon? They can start right away. And in terms of, we just make that a condition of accepting the agreement, should you want to, that we do get regular progress reports. And we should be in regular communication with them anyway. They should be in regular communication.
A formal document.
Okay.
Yeah, you would almost need that if you're going to continue to fund month to month.
Yep. Great point. Any other discussion on this item?
How much of the information that St. Norbert and the gentleman who I'm blanking on his name?
Dr. Mark Schaefer.
Pardon?
Dr. Mark Schaefer.
No, the architect that kind of drew up the...
Oh, David Robel.
Did. Is that information that... I assume that'll be at their disposal so they don't have to reinvent the wheel on that part.
Yep, they have it right now.
any other?
I would like to hear, as part of their sales pitch, did they point to a school referendum or any similar type of project that they started on something where it was dead in the water, and because they were so skilled or their contacts, they were able to move it? Did that jump out at either of you that oh, gee, that sounded comparable? What they did for them will work for us.
Yep, and there were several examples in the About Us document.
Oh, okay. That I do. Okay. But yeah, they were relevant to this one.
Yep. Okay. I don't know if they were dead in the water, but they led the public relations effort for.
Yeah, and just from a personal standpoint, I tend to be skeptical of high price, and I'm not saying this is high price public relations. That, you know, we already on some things do a pretty good job of media or public information, just running things like we do. But I think I see benefit here in that the ties to state government and just knowing the lay of the land. And yeah, it's a potentially north of $100 million development.
About 130, they're saying.
Yeah. So I guess I would support that. And the other concern, there are local people who do this kind of thing too, who have done school referendums or the Packer Stadium. But because of the specialized experience in state government, I don't have a problem with going to a Madison firm.
Thank you. And to your point, if it doesn't, if we see that we're not making headway or anything, it's a month-to-month agreement, probably with a 30-day out.
Yeah.
And we'll make sure of that. Any other discussion?
Yeah, I was reading their curriculum vitae or summaries, whatever you want to call them. They're obviously Republican-leaning. Most of their contacts are on that side of the aisle. I'm assuming and hoping that this would be a nonpartisan effort and that the same amount of energy would be directed toward Governor Evers if he's reelected.
And the entire Democratic side of the Assembly and Senate.
Yep.
One thing that we brought up was, obviously, I think a lot of people were in support of, on both sides of the aisle, of closing GBCI for different reasons, right? Some were social justice issues. Some were economic development issues. And so we told Keith, what we're looking for is we need to understand how to talk to everyone and get the message, because I do believe that it's everyone has a win in this. We just have to make sure that people get the data they need to understand that it's a win for their side as well. So excellent point, Trustee Denrick. Any other discussion? We have a motion to approve the proposal from Platform Communications in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item 7A, approval of the use of ARPA funds in an amount not to exceed $30,000. This project is deemed to be an economic development project, which is an appropriate use of ARPA funds. And so I would like to allocate no more than $30,000 or up to $30,000, which in theory would take us through 10 months, which would take us through the budget cycle. If we don't need it that long, we don't keep it that long. So I will make a motion to approve the use of ARPA funds in an amount not to exceed $30,000 for this project. Do I have a second? Trustee Harris?
Yes.
Any discussion?
I think we spent most of that at Public Works the other night. Oh, okay.
Might be a few more.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, we have a motion to approve the use of ARPA funds in an amount not to exceed $30,000 for the Platform Communications project. And a second, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action regarding request to use ARPA funds for computer system upgrades. Mr. Lang.
Yeah, given what's going on in the world. Had a consultation with our IT provider, and it is recommended some changes be made within our system, and I'm asking for up to $10,000 or $10,000 allocated so that we can make various changes to our system. And for obvious reasons, I would certainly don't want to disclose exactly what we're going to be doing.
Trustee Genrich.
I would move that we approve up to $10,000 for computer IT related upgrades.
I would second that.
For discussion, this is really a one-time expenditure, right?
There will be some residuals due to monthly monitoring, but it will be budgeted in the future.
And it's an appropriate use of ARPA funds.
Yes.
Could that include improvements to our recording and all of that? I know there have been some issues with that. You're not saying yes or no, but that's something that maybe could be included in that because we, you know, struggled with some meetings that didn't work.
Any other discussion? We have a motion to approve up to $10,000 of ARPA funds for IT-related services, and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 9, action regarding amendment to TDS easement agreement. Mr. Lang.
Yes, in front of you is an amendment to the agreement. What we discussed last time was $5,000 and or them bringing fiber to our facilities and some landscaping. We're at $10,000, including landscaping. In discussion with TDS, they'll be running fiber near all these locations anyway. So I think this is a good one, a good resolution for us. The agreement might sound a little strange because it says TDS can do landscaping and the village can do landscaping. We're not absolutely certain what is all going to be needed until it's installed. Based on the locations, it could be very, very minimal.
And they're paying us $10,000 for the easement.
For the easement, correct. There will be another easement coming before the board, probably at the next meeting.
Okay. Do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve the amendment Trustee. To the easement agreement, please.
Trustee Harris, do I have a second? Trustee Atwood, any discussion? We have a motion to approve the amendment and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 10, action regarding capital improvement plan updates. Mr. Jean.
Yeah, the planning for next year's street and utility reconstruction project has started. To begin, I'm looking to get village board acceptance approval on the streets to be reconstructed next year. Please keep in mind that this is one of many steps. With your approval tonight, I will then go ahead and put together an RFP to hire an engineer. Once they've been hired, then the topo of the project will get started, and shortly after the topo, the design. Once we've started the design, I will be bringing back to you, committee and village board, the roadway widths along with any amenities, and we'll have a discussion about that. After the design of the project, the projects will be awarded. At that time, we'll know what the cost is, and we'll know what how to move ahead with the bonding. We typically bond for these projects. If for whatever reason the cost comes in higher than what we expected, we can at that time potentially trim these projects back a little bit. But the intent tonight is to get your blessing on the streets to be reconstructed next year. Trevor, if you could go to the capital improvement plan. if we can focus in on the middle half of the plan, the four streets that we're proposing to reconstruct next year, Karen Lane from Libel to Greenwald, Roselawn Boulevard, the east half, Claude Alloway Terrace from Riverside Drive to the Termini, and Jackson Street from Alloway Terrace to Derby. The overall cost of the project right now is estimated at just under $2.7 million. And please keep in mind these are just scoping estimates. We haven't done any design yet. These are reconstruct projects. The scope includes a replacement of the pavement, and then we're going to take a hard look at the underground utilities, first by televising them, and then from there we'll determine how we're going to best improve those. So I'm anxious to get started. The sooner we can get started, the sooner we can have plans completed, and the sooner we can get this project bid out. Be my intent to get plans prepared and bid this project middle to end of January, if not sooner.
Kadok. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Harris.
I would move to approve. I've got a question for during discussion.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Trustee Sampson. Discussion. Mr. Harris.
What's the approximate cost of the engineering services? And then I can't remember, because I know we normally do this. Are those services then part of the cost of bonding? And because we'd be paying for them in 22, does it actually fall under the 2021 bonding, or do we hold off and it becomes part of the 2023 bonding? I can't remember the sequencing.
And we'll, you know what? Yeah, I think we're getting ahead of ourselves, because that will get brought back to the village board. I want to get out an RFP, and that will go out to a handful of engineers at a later date. I'll get proposals back from them, and that will be brought back to committee and village board, and at that time we can discuss how we're going to potentially fund the engineering. I haven't yet talked to Julie about any remaining funds from the 2021 bonding.
Yeah, if we have funds remaining, we'll, you know, we can reuse them. We could use them for engineering for the streets. Otherwise, those are considered soft costs that we can spend and then bond for afterwards.
Okay, thank you. And I may be getting ahead of myself. You don't want to go into all the details. You don't have enough details in front of you, so I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, if you want a rough cost.
No. We don't need to go into detail with that.
All right. Any other discussion?
Just to reiterate the fact for the general public's maybe benefit that these are always just a plan, you know.
Right.
They're not literally etched in concrete, you know, because things shift and change, as do road conditions and whatever. So
pun intended.
Pardon?
Pun intended.
Yeah. But, you know, because sometimes we've had input that says, well, you didn't follow the plan, you're going to do this, and now you did that. And things do change. You know? And all those changes come through committees and all the rest, so I just emphasize that. You know?
Any other discussion? So we have a motion to go to RFP. Or to approve the plan.
A motion to...
what was the motion? To approve the plan.
To approve the street reconstruction projects as presented on the CIP plan.
Well said, Trustee Harris. And seconded by Trustee Sampson.
Yes.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 11, inspection update for liquor license renewals. Mr. Fuller.
Just an update from the last meeting. We had given two individual license holders 30 days to rectify some issues. One of the two have resolved the non-compliant issues, and the other one, the issues are still outstanding. So I believe you still have some time to correct those issues, so I'll certainly report back in a few weeks.
So who resolved their issues?
The Water Light.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions for Trevor on that? Moving on to item number 12, report on No Mo May.
I just wanted to bring this to the for its attention. I'm sure you've seen it in the news, and I'm sure you've seen it on Nextdoor app or received communications from residents. It's something that I guess if you haven't heard about it, it's essentially not mowing for the month of May to provide pollinators a food source in the early months of the summer. That's the high level overview. It began in Appleton in 2020 and has since spread to Green Bay, De Pere, Oshkosh, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, La Crosse, and other communities throughout the state. So started in Appleton and now actually around the country. But it's something that we've received requests for this year. Received one or two last year. Received probably I'd say around two dozen this year. It's not something that we really wanted to jump into just because of leasing and enforcement. We weren't sure, and we weren't sure how the broader community felt about it. So it's just something that we're monitoring other communities, how they're doing things, and we're going to learn from their mistakes, and if there are any. But then also we have our neighborhood compliance inspector. She is working with the parks department, and they roped off a 10 by 10 plot area in one of our greenways, and over the course of the month of May and into June a little bit, she's recording the growth of the grass, taking some pictures in comparison with the mowed areas, just so that we have some visual understanding of the lengths that it can grow. So this is something that I would like to bring back to the board for a discussion, which is a report tonight, but discussion maybe around September, October this year, so that if the board wishes to go forward with it next year, that we could put it into All About Alloway and have kind of the winter to figure out a way to implement it. Not suggesting that that's how staff feels at this time. It's just, again, wanted to bring it to your attention.
Well, I think that's a good approach. Collect the data and then make a decision. Nice job. Do we still have people doing bees, raising bees on in our parks?
I just inspected one this morning. Not in our parks. This was a private residence over on Riviera Rue. Oh, yeah. And I believe we only have one or two in the village.
So at one point we had people doing it in our parks, right? And no longer, huh? That group?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if they're still around the individual.
Okay.
Question?
Yes, sir.
So I've seen on the neighbors discussion of it, and which is the bigger deal here? Is it that people don't want to be ticketed or warned for having high grass towards the end of May, or are they really getting belligerent that our parks should not go out and mow anywhere, or is it both? What's the bigger source of potential conflict, of either not or what?
I haven't heard anything in relation to the parks, at least come through communication. I haven't monitored Nextdoor app too closely to see if it's been mentioned on that.
It has, just to the extent, is Bellevue part of this? Is Bellevue? I see that's in the news, and Appleton's doing it, Alloway. I don't know, but are we maybe holding it in abeyance or going out and you're, if people's lawns are getting shaggy, are we kind of informally going along with no mow May?
I mean, we haven't begun to enforce.
Yeah, it's early. It's been a late spring. Yeah. So maybe that's just as well.
And that's part of the thing, too, is really by the time the month of May is over, I mean, by the time you hit that 7 inches that it's required to keep the grass under, you're getting really close to the end of May anyway. And so at least my thought right now is are we really just delaying going out and reaching out to these individuals to cut their grass another 2 weeks? Because by the time we reach out to an individual, their grass is 7 inches, we receive a complaint from a resident, it's notify them, we give them a few days to cut it, follow up. I mean, it's really, you're past May. So it's, I don't know. We want to collect a lot of data before we really make any decisions.
Yeah. No, it's a trendy, it's a catchy phrase, and somebody who's got a real bird and bug friendly backyard with plantings and maybe less grass but wants a formal lawn in front, you know, should they be ostracized because they're not following no mow May? I don't know. But on the other hand, I know you don't want to get crossways of the people who are really wearing their environmentalism on our sleeve, and Alloway is telling us to kill the bees. You know, it's kind of a thankless deal.
I think we've had internal discussions. There's other considerations going into, you know, you have if you spray your yard around, you know, if you spray your yard and you really have no weeds, really you're not helping the pollinators much. There's other things you can do. I've heard from individuals that you're not supposed to rake your yard because some pollinators are still hibernating in the early months. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that I think you could get into that I don't necessarily know if I want to, but
something to do in your spare time.
I'm sorry.
Just something to do in your spare time.
Right. But if it's the feeling of the board, and if you've heard from enough constituents and you wish to go forward with this, then we can look into it. We're starting collecting the data right now. I'd say typically in the month during the summer months, we do get quite a few complaints about length of grass. So again, we're just trying to weigh the amount of comments we received today versus how many we typically receive.
Very good. Thank you. Any other messages?
Just a quick question, Trevor. As part of the data collection, are we getting any, will we be getting any feedback from two, three other municipalities about the positives and the negatives they've experienced? I'm assuming that's happening, but I'd rather it'd be one other data point to collect, I think.
Yeah, certainly will, and that's a great idea.
And there's none of those communities, nobody yet does anything mandatory, right? It's more of a promotion, and this is a good idea for you to consider.
Right.
You can let your grass grow longer without being warned. I guess that's the gist of it.
Okay, any other? Thank you very much, Trevor. Moving on to item number 13, discussion regarding ARPA fund list. Mr. Lang.
So what you have in your packet is a makeup of potential ARPA projects and or investments, so to speak, from various departments. I think everyone had taken their stuff through their various committees to come up with a listing of potential projects that they would see fit for the ARPA funding. I wanted to get that out to the board now, to give you a chance to review, maybe scale or rank what you feel is kind of your priorities, and have further discussion once we have that that list narrowed down, talk about how we want to engage the public in any sort of decision that the board is going to make or may make. We do have to make some adjustments again because of two projects tonight that are receiving funding through ARPA. So there'll be some upgrades to this. But in essence, you know, looked at the departments and saying, Sean, what is it that you see you could use it for? And Sean came up with $2.5 million. We have $1.4 roughly allocated to us. Chris, I think, is probably million plus because some projects are not or to be determined because there's a lot more investigation that we need to take place. Trevor in economic development. Trevor took us both through economic development and plan commission because they're somewhat related. And came up with a variety of, you know, it's very broad in what he is allocating it towards, but it can be narrowed down more. I think Trevor came up with $1.4 million. And Carrie has a few items, and then we have a few items that's added to it as well. We did the ADA compliance to our website, which again would be eligible. And if you look at our website, you see the cutout individual. It's something that we needed to do to have done, so we took advantage and got that done already. Paid for it, but we could reimburse ourselves through ARPA. So this is just a snapshot of potential projects. You yourself may have others that you've thought about or may have been asked by a resident to think about. So if you would just take these, we can revisit them in June, and then just kind of work the process down and determine where the funds can be allocated to.
Any questions? Matthew.
So you said I can tell Public Works, that group went through and actually ranked their top five out of the list. Economic Development, Trevor, you had that as part of the meetings, right?
Right. We had a long
and planning list, right?
And that was our top three.
Okay, and Chris, has yours gone through the Parks and Rec Committee?
Yes,
okay.
It's ranked in order from top to bottom.
Okay, if you said that, I missed it. That's where I was just trying to make sure. Okay, perfect, thank you.
So timeline, first meeting in June, we come back and talk about this?
I think we have further discussion on this, and then eventually we'll come to a vote on where we want to spend the money.
So when do we want to open it up to the public? Or we'll discuss that at the next
meeting? I think we'll discuss that at the next meeting.
Okay. Okie doke. Any other discussion or questions for Brad? Thank you, Mr. Lang. Item number 14, discussion regarding 2022 construction project update. Mr. Jean.
Thank you. Just want to quickly give everybody an update on this year's construction projects. Street resurfacing projects, which includes 7 street segments. That work has started. It started earlier this month, and the work will be completed early to middle part of June. Doty Sif about the school sidewalk project. That work is anticipated to get started when school is out the week of June 13th, with the work being completed end of August, early September. 14-inch water main repair project, you've probably noticed with the temporary traffic control on the 172 off-ramp and at Webster Avenue. That work has started actually started yesterday. We anticipate that work to take, roughly speaking, 2 to 3 weeks. Any questions?
Did we ever determine if the state had any liability in that?
No. They're no different than the village. When we allow a utility to locate within our right-of-way, we give them a permit to be in that space. We don't provide them an easement. And the reason why we don't provide and the DOT doesn't provide utilities easements is because if at a later date they need to come back out and improve that roadway or ramp in this particular case, the DOT would be responsible to move that utility. So they don't want that responsibility. If that utility happens to be in the way 50 years from now, it's the utility's responsibility to relocate.
Okay. Any other questions?
Did you bring up engine braking?
Many times.
Thank you, Sean.
Yeah, that's what broke the pipe.
Vibrations.
Yep.
Item number 15, discussion regarding submittal of village street projects for bipartisan infrastructure law grant funding. A, Libel Street. B, Broadview.
Thank you. Yes, we are moving ahead with two projects under the bill, federal funding. We're focusing our efforts on the STP service transportation program. Under that, we're submitting two projects, Libel Street and Broadview Drive. Broadview Drive, these are both maintenance projects. Limits of the Broadview Drive project would be from Webster Avenue to Libel Street. The work would include, in this particular case, milling and overlaying the existing pavement, removal and replacement of the defective curb and gutter, spot improvements to the existing storm sewer system, and the construction of a new sidewalk on the north side from Penwood to Webster Avenue. And this is an attempt to increase our score. These projects are scored on a number of different criteria, which includes whether or not it includes multimodal improvements. So we currently have a gap right now, and the bike and pedestrian comprehensive plan does show sidewalk on both sides. So the grant application has been put together with the addition of new sidewalk.
There's not a sidewalk on the north side of Longview?
No. Broadview.
Oh, Broadview. I'm sorry. Okay.
Right now, there is existing sidewalk from Libel to Penwood, just a short segment.
Yeah.
On the south side, yes, there is sidewalk the entire length of the street segment. Libel Street is another project. It is a maintenance project as well, similar scope. The limits of this project extend from LeBrun to Vandehei, with construction of a new sidewalk on the east side from LeBrun to Longview Avenue. Again, this is the sidewalk is shown in our bike and comprehensive plan on both sides, and we currently do have a gap right now out there. And with the completion of that sidewalk, it would complete a network. I don't know if it's considered a safe route to school, but it is sidewalk that leads to Hilly Elementary School. So. These projects will get submitted June 3rd, and we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Very good. Any questions?
In general, what's the turnaround time for us getting a response?
That's a good question. I think it's probably late summer.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions? Thank you, Sean. Item number 16, discussion regarding storage of garbage and recycling bins. Mr. Fuller.
I know this ordinance is familiar to most of you. I know we discussed it in the past. It had different interpretations over the years or philosophies on how to enforce this. How we've been enforcing it recently is by complaint, recently we've received a very long list of properties with this non-compliant waste bins. And before we went out and started tagging this large area, we really wanted to take a look at the ordinance again and see if there's any flexibility, because there are some properties with either they're narrow lots, they have one-stall garages, or they're corner lots. There's some degree of challenge probably with every lot as far as where to locate the waste bin. So I guess what we were hoping to see from the board tonight is see if there is thoughts on this ordinance. Would you like it to remain the same? Should staff take an attempt at possibly allowing some flexibility in this ordinance? And then the third thing is, would you like us to continue to enforce this by complaint, and to us to be more proactive, or I guess we're just looking at a little direction. I know a few years ago when we took a little bit more active approach, we received a bigger public response, and before we go that direction, I just again wanted to either give the board a heads up or just get a little bit more direction.
Any ideas for Trevor?
The list of complaints from one individual?
It is, yeah.
Had they gone on a mission of searching out garbage carts, or what led one person to complain about a bunch of the different neighbors?
You know, a lot of times when we receive a laundry list like this, it's because this individual had been talked to about a certain issue. In this case, no one's talked to this resident. They just felt like it was an ordinance that we had on the books that we needed to be enforcing, and they took it upon themselves to search out a number of homes that were compliant. We did reach back out to her, and we did say we're looking at this and kind of do a case by case basis. And So
did you look at the homes? Did you mention you did?
Our neighbor compliance inspector did, yes.
Okay. I understand not being able to put them in the garage if you have a one-car garage, maybe even some two-car. Are any of the homes on that list, or examples that we know of, is there simply no place for them to put the garbage bins, including their backyard?
I think every home, my opinion, every home you could find a spot. My home, I have a very, personally speaking, I have a narrow lot, 57 feet wide, and a single stall garage. Built a little screen on the side of my garage, keep them there, and that's compliant. I guess the other people might have a different opinion, and I think that's where in the past we had received some public attention, and not afraid to go that direction, but again, just with the large number of properties that we'll be approaching, I'm just assuming that we'll receive some attention for that.
Okay.
I
would just say my initial reaction in terms of enforcement would be to follow along with what you brought up on the no mow May topic. There needs to be a complaint from a resident about the lawn for us to trigger that. We have something on the books for the code enforcement officer to, if I'm saying the updated title correct, to enforce if it's there. But we would just be consistent with that part of it. That's my knee-jerk reaction in terms of the enforcement.
Mr. Kenrick?
Thinking we don't want to go further into being more punitive. Everybody's got their opinions, whether it's the brush or the garden waste or leaf piles or whatever else. And this is just another point of contention. And it makes a lot of sense if maybe we could just respond to the complaints and assume that others will try to comply. Maybe a list of suggestions, like you said, with yours, just a small screen. Maybe we've done that. And there's certainly, if you go online, Google it or whatever, you can certainly come up with some ideas. Some may be more natural than fencing or something, but yeah.
I believe the ordinance is a good ordinance. I do think that, for example, however many homes are on this list, or when someone makes a complaint, if we take an education first as opposed to punitive, saying, didn't know if you knew this, we have an ordinance on the books, you need to have your garbage cans in a location that you can't see from the street. You know, there may be some people that because of their lot and maybe the winter time or for whatever reason, their age, that they aren't able to put in their backyard. Well, a lady came to the village board not too long ago saying, you know, I can't do the sidewalk, and she made every effort to get it done. So I'm sure people have the right, or quite, they can come and ask for, I don't know what that would be, an exception due to
hardship or something.
Hardship. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
Well, I don't know if that person actually, she was making attempts and she hired somebody to clear the sidewalk. So it was, we weren't making an exception for her. They were making a good faith effort to, I don't like the idea of making an exception to any ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
Long as there's a good faith effort being made to create a screen, build a screen, hire someone to build a screen, or whatever is appropriate for that property, that might be the way to go.
Yep.
I just don't like the exception
agree with that.
Comment.
Yep.
That's all.
Yep.
Trevor, how many names were on that list?
The area covered Delahunt, a libel from Hoffman down to LeBron.
25? 10?
Yeah, it wasn't quite 25.
Okay. So manageable.
Manageable, but yes. I mean, so what can happen and has happened with other experiences, you talk to one, and then they'll point out two more. And again, you know, this is our job to enforce this ordinance. I think it has the potential of getting bigger, and it's a pretty big area already. And so, before I directed our staff to go ahead and enforce this, I just wanted to be sure we're all on the same page.
What would our first step be?
First step would be knocking on the doors and as you mentioned, making them aware. We did a few years ago have the door hanger made up. It does have examples of how you and where you position.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always our first step, is always knocking on the door, trying to make contact. Typically, we'll need some sort of follow-up material, business card, something. If we can't make contact, we either will try again depending on the issue, or we'll send a letter. But then a letter is, again, just explaining the issue or code, and then possible repercussions in the time frame to resolve the issue. Second letter is always sent. That one is indicating that they've attempted to be contacted or they have been contacted. Again, explain the ordinance. And then that one, it says, this is the date you have to fix it, or you will be ticketed. And then finally, at that date comes and goes, then we ticket them. You know, that's a month-long process. It's a lengthy process, and you always hope to get voluntary compliance.
Yeah. How about if you just go straight to a respectful, nice first letter instead of having to go knock on all the doors? That's obviously time-consuming, right? With maybe a door hanger in there, just with examples of what you can do, would that make it easier on staff?
To make it easier on staff as far as being able to touch those properties quicker, but you will have a bigger reaction, negative reaction.
Okay.
We've phrased letters in a variety of different ways, not in this issue necessarily in particular, but I don't know if there's ever a great way of telling people what to do with their property or how to do something.
Well, you know, if there's a big backlash.
Face-to-face is always the preferred approach.
You can always have a public meeting on it and invite people in. And
question and a comment. Comparable to or nearby communities that have the same kind of garbage and recycling pickup that we do, do they all have a similar ordinance with a screen required, or almost all?
I believe to some degree, yes.
Yeah.
I haven't studied other, but I do know this was looked at a few years ago, or read.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And just my two cents worth personal, I wasn't involved in earlier discussions of this, but I'm thinking of my neighbor, and they travel a little bit, and we tend to their garbage, and it's a pretty nice neighborhood, and he's got a garage, attached garage, and on the side nearest the adjacent house, he just puts his cans up against the garage, does not have a screen, and it's in no way objectionable or noticeable or anything. As a matter of fact, he told me he would have to have a screen. He almost doesn't have enough lot line, and plus then you're dealing with mud in the spring or snow, and you know, to wheel those things around a permanent screen. I guess he could have a little gateway. You know, I couldn't see you chasing him down and tagging his garbage, even though he's technically in violation. On the other hand, I'm sure there are some where it's more noticeable. So I don't know. I guess looking at this, I would say, yeah, maybe none in front facing the street, but if you've got them on the side of a garage, and it's a garage, good enough for me. But again, maybe that's okay with my neighbor's house, if for whatever reason it's not noticeable, but somewhere else it would be, and maybe a neighbor would object, not enough to complain. So I don't know. But it makes me a little nervous. But not enough to propose you do, you know, you change the way you do the business.
Yeah.
Any other comments, thoughts to share? Thank you to you and your staff for what you do.
You're welcome.
Did you get your question answered, by the way?
I think I have enough direction.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Item number 17, future agenda items. Is there anything that a fellow board member would like to see on a future agenda, Trustee Harris?
At some point in the next maybe month, could we get an update on the TDS fiber installation timeline? Just where they're at in the village, what maybe percentage they've got completed, how much they plan to get completed in Q3 and then Q4. Just something high level like that, just so we see how they're progressing.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, hearing none, before I go into the closed session bit, I forgot one announcement, and it's related to GBCI. Has anyone ever heard of the book, The Reformatory Tales from Green Bay's Maximum Security Prison?
No.
No.
I encourage you, it is written by Joe Verdagen. I apologize if I mispronounced his name. He was a former guard at the prison, and he wrote a book about the true inside life at the prison. So recent I just download. You can download it on Kindle and everything else.
Recent book? Or?
It was, I think, 2018.
Oh.
Copyright 2020, but I know it's not all that long ago. But I just downloaded and when you start reading it, it's $25 paperback, hard copy, $5 on Kindle right now. But I found it very interesting, so I'm going to read that and learn. Okay. I will accept the motion to convene into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 1985-1E, deliberating or negotiating the purchasing of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session. Do I have such motion?
Yes, pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 1985-1E, I will move that we proceed into closed session.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Trustee Genrich. Roll call. Trustee Harris.
Aye.
Trustee Genrich.
Aye.
Trustee Atwood.
Aye.
President Rafter. Aye. Trustee Sampson.
Aye.
We are in close. Thank you very much, everyone.
Passes. Thank you.
Move to adjourn.
We are back in open. We have nothing to report on closed.
Move to adjourn.
And Trustee Sampson moves to adjourn. Do I have a second?
Second.
Trustee Genrich. We have a motion to adjourn in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you.